Hi everyone, welcome to Crowd Forecast News, episode number 190 for July 30th, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube, but I am also releasing all the episodes of the Time and Research shows as podcasts through Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. So be sure to look it up and subscribe there. Today we will be discussing the 253rd weekly report, which I published last night and you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. If you haven't had a chance to take a look at this yet, you can go to timingresearch.com and download the PDF or read through the blog version there. I have Michael Filiguera back to moderate today, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Thank you, David, and good afternoon to those on the East Coast and in the Midwest, and good morning to those of us out here on the West Coast. We should have a very interesting show today, as I'm sure that most people that are watching or listening know. The markets are kind of moving lower at a quicker pace this morning than they have in the past couple of weeks or months. Today on the panel, we have A.J. Brown and Jane Galinda. And so what I'd like to do is just to kind of start with a round robin. We'll start with A.J. and then Jane and then myself, and just kind of give it a little intro of who you are, what you do, and any other comments that you want to make on an introduction. And we'll start with you, A.J.
Thank you. I love being on this show. My name is A.J. Brown, and I am with Trading Trainer, started in 2003, teaching people how to do trading with options and stock strategies. And I've been trading myself since the mid-90s. And yeah, that's a good introduction.
Thank you.
And I am Jane Galinda, also known as Airplane Jane. And you can find me Airplane Jane all over social media and my website, CJane Trade, where I've been sharing my experience of coming to day trading since 2015 after I had my first daughter and now have my second daughter, and absolutely have a passion for trading and enjoy sharing it with others and helping them shorten their learning curve.
And thank you very much. And I'm sorry for mispronouncing your last name.
Oh, no problem.
It's actually an L, and my apologies. I'm Michael Filiguera. I am with LogicalSignals.com. That is my website and currently under construction. So patience is going to be a virtue here because I'm still busy figuring all that out and trying to put it back together to see what we're going to be doing. And then in the meantime, still trying to process trading. At the moment, though, I am working in conjunction with past trade room member of mine as she starts her own trade room. And that's where you'll find me most mornings is together over there. And that's through candlesticktrading.com. I'd everybody to check that out. We're doing some sessions with people that have, and we're helping them find their way through markets like we have this morning. So with that in mind, let's now go back and we will again do round robin, AJ, Jane, and then myself. And we're going to go through the questions that have been posed to folks this week. And the first one is that, which direction do you think the S&P 500 index will move from this coming Monday's open to Friday's close? And then as you give that, we'll just go ahead and include question two, which is rate your confidence in your answers by giving us a probability of where you think you are. And we'll begin with you, AJ.
Fantastic. So towards the end of last week, we began to test our levels of resistance on the S&P 500. That was about at 2850. And that resistance was established when the market changed its behavior mid-January. We went from a very tight Trump rally to a lot of indecision and confusion going sideways. This time being July and August always is what we call in the options trading world the summer doldrums, where volumes drop, investors alike and traders alike go out on vacation with their families, so on and so forth. And we are always expecting sideways movement at this point. So any sort of channeling, any sort of bouncing up off of resistance down or up from support up is totally expected. I do expect it to go down for this week, but I wouldn't be surprised if we find some sort of support in the not too distant future and start bouncing back up through the month of August and down and up. And my confidence that we're going to go down through this Friday is probably around 75%.
Thank you very much. And Jane?
I agree with AJ in that, you know, we did have what was a breakout last week, and then it went ahead and pulled back. And Friday's big move, you know, Thursday we had Facebook drop, Friday continuation, which really affected the market. And today, again, is really drawing it down. And I think we were going to see a further drawdown of that as well as the FANG stocks and bring it down overall for the week compared to where we started this morning, which we're already down, you know, almost 20 points. So I'd say I'm about 60% confident with being lower on Friday.
Okay. I think it's all going to be kind of a one-sided show today. I'm going to stand in agreement with what AJ and Jane have already stated. I do see lower prices ahead. And as AJ has stated, I mean, there is support down below. Whether that holds or not is yet to be seen. But I do think some of it will find stronger support where buyers will step back in. And it may not be anything more than a bounce, but we'll see that type of a movement. And hopefully with the increase in the volatility, so we have a volatility increase just because of the movement. Markets drop much quicker than they go up, but we see that price volatility and that should continue as well. So I think if we get a turn in the market and it begins to go higher, even if it's a rebound, it just kind of a bounce higher, it should move with some speed. And as traders, algorithms, and everybody jumps back in and attempts to readjust positions as they often do when markets move around like this. So I do also believe that we will end lower on Friday, and my confidence level is 70%. So having said that, we will kind of drift down to the responses for the week were that we have a 0% chance of the market moving lower. And I will just kind of state a question three. For your answer, please share what specific reasons you think the S&P 500 will be heading in the direction you chose. And the higher respondents added, despite a good pullback in the SPX on Friday and the NASDAQ getting whacked, market internals are still positive. That was one reason why they thought higher. And that statement still might be the case, as we now know. Many times the market will drop and then it just kind of works its way back higher. People also believe earnings, high momentum, the nomination of Judge Kavanaugh, a bullish trend, positive momentum, etc. Lower think it's a tougher earnings season. And they also believe that the tariffs are going to catch up with the market. Technical indicators are down, reacting to a mixed response to tech earnings. Some folks said too many stocks selling off, that it was overbought. Technical and tired market, even good news is getting sold, et cetera, et cetera. And one person, I guess, said Elliott Wave. So again, let's go back around. We'll start with AJ. And you want to share some specific reasons on why we think the S&P is heading in the direction it is?
Yeah, definitely. You know, again, I think that we're in a moment of sideways channeling. I think that resistance levels and support levels are going to be, especially ones that are tested, are going to hold. And I don't think that we're going to see any sort of move out of this channel until at least Labor Day, if not later. With that said, you know, I think that we've hit another resistance level. I think that there is slight support at 2800, but more heavy support at 27 and even 2600. And that's where I expect us to go for the month of August, is back down to those levels, test them again, maybe see a rebound up at 2700 or at the worst 2600. I don't see us going lower than 2600 on the S&P 500. And I don't really see us going, at least during this month of August, any higher than about 2860 at the most, 2880. On the S&P 500. And as I told the others on the phone before most of you guys got on the board, my team is selling premium. So we're basically playing what's called data decay on options, because that's the perfect environment, especially when that VIX ticks higher. We sell our premium and get even higher premiums. So that's what we're doing, playing on the sideways movement of the market.
And thank you very much, Jane.
Well, like I mentioned before, I think that, you know, Facebook, and as we mentioned before, Michael, that all the FANG stocks are really starting to see sell-off. Yeah. And even with Facebook, what I mentioned before was, you know, on Thursday when we had the big drop, the pre-market activity brought it down to that 164.30 level, and then they ran it all the way back up to open at 175. Why? In my opinion, it's the big money houses were saying, hey, we're not ready for a sell-off yet of Facebook, because at 80%, all the big mutual fund holders are going to have to take their loss on the stock and sell and get out. out. Well, sure enough, it closed right at the 80% mark on Friday, what I think it was 174.89. And so that's a big signal to me saying, hey guys, it's time to go ahead and sell. As well as if anybody knows the stock whisperer, Stephanie Kammerman, she will tweet out on her app about dark pool prints. And she had a major dark pool print at 175.33. Well, sure enough, you look at the pre-market activity today and it was propped up to roughly 175.33. They never let it get higher. And everybody started selling massively today. So I think, you know, we're going to see that continue to drop down to that 164.30 level for potential bounce down there. I think that was another signal as well. And then run up from there. So I think we're going to see the big boys pulling out their money. It's, you know, at 42 million volume today. That's not all the retail traders. That's a lot of people. Yes, it is some stops being executed, but it's a lot of the mutual funds saying, hey, we've got to go ahead and cut our loss on this one. Not that we don't think it's going to go back up, but because of their strategies, 80% were out. That's it.
Very, very good information. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, because I tend to agree that when many people might misinterpret when we see large mutual funds or large sellers moving into a market in a particular stock and they start hitting that, that their belief may be that they're selling it because it's still going to go, it's going to go back to, you know, 150 or 140, or it's just going to continue to drop. And that may not be the case at all. I think that initially they didn't like the earnings. They thought that, you know, and Facebook tends to still sit in some hot water because of what took place politically through Facebook, and that has not been resolved. So I think there are plenty of reasons for why they would like to sell, particularly Facebook. But I'll add to all of that, that generally most of the FANG stocks have been so overvalued. And as some other folks that have been on this show and also on David's other show, when stocks start to trade 20, 25% or higher above the 200-day moving average, it just draws in sellers. It may still continue to hold itself higher, but you're going to start to see that dark pool money start to move in to try to shore up positions or, you know, start to close positions. And eventually when that gets pushed out into the broader market, then we start to see days like we do today. For myself, I really feel that the markets really are just starting to readjust, because we have a tendency to, as AJ stated, it's summer. We start to get slow. The volumes start to drop off. And if you're suddenly being confronted with a position that you need to sell 2.3 million shares of Facebook just to kind of get yourself even, you're going to have a tough time. And it's going to get marked down quite a bit because a lot of players aren't going to participate and they're not even available. Mm-hmm. So I think when we add that all together, plus the overvaluations, plus just the amount of reality that we have sitting on the sidelines waiting to be digested and to be realized by our markets, heading lower, I think, is a good thing. Now, in the S&P, I would agree with AJ's bottom line as to where this could drop to. Initially, though, I feel that we may be reaching a low today, and then we'll see a bounce, which should not go, in my estimation, back above 28.25. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get an additional drop. Now, then once that occurs, I think things can be reassessed, but I definitely am looking for at least 2750 down to 2725 and possibly as low as 2700, just pretty much exactly what AJ had said. So that's my opinion for the S&P. The S&P is going to also be held hostage because so many of the stocks that are in the NASDAQ, the big stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, mm-hmm. NVIDIA, they're all in the S&P as well.
Correlation.
And so, I'm sorry, say again?
Correlation, big time.
Yes, exactly. And so I think when we start to put all those factors in, and that's the reality part that I'm talking about. When you start to see these correlations, you start to see things really kicking in. It's just being pulled back in my opinion, it's being pulled back into a reality, to what things really should be as they kind of get pushed in a direction. They always will come back. So, else, you guys have anything else that you want to add to that particular statement or to just why we're choosing this direction?
Not on my side.
No, I agree in that, you know, there's less buyers out there in general. It's not necessarily sell and go away. It's just a slower time. More people are on vacation. The retail buyers, you know, they're thinking, a lot of people have their kids. They're thinking about their kids going to school. school, they're on vacation. It's not necessarily investing into new positions.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And I agree with you.
Let's wait for Labor Day to see something big happening.
It may be the day after Labor Day and they pull the plug.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But also just to add to that, we cannot discount or look past the fact that we've got some very important elections coming up this November.
Yeah.
And it's going to have an effect one way or the other. I think it will have an effect. Our fourth question for today, and please add as much as you want, and is who or what first inspired you to be a trader?
Start with me.
Yes.
Okay. I grew up with a non-traditional mom, single mom who did all sorts of investing and trading all while I was growing up. And so I was exposed at an early, early age in the 1970s to all kinds of fun stuff that she was doing, mainly with mortgages and T-bills, because at that time, under the Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford times, the mortgage rates were up over 10%. Mm. With that said, I then pursued a more traditional way of doing things. And fast forward to the mid-90s, and I'm sitting in Cube City in Santa Clara, California at an HP facility, working at I don't know what, getting lost in all of the hubbub, and decided to go back to my roots. I had some discussions with my mom about what she had done 20, 25 years earlier. And decided to pursue some of these people who at the time, before webinars were popular, were coming on weekends to hotels. And they would do that thing where they would have you come in on a Saturday morning. And then if you wanted to, you could stay all day Sunday. And then if you wanted to after that, you could sign up for their programs. And I signed up for so many of those and lost so much money at those because a lot of those people were just like today, not trading what they were teaching. Mm-hmm. And it was actually finally after a year of going to maybe 30 or 40 of these seminars where I noticed the same people were sitting every Saturday morning in the front row with me, cornering them at the water cooler and asking them to do this with me. And it was the power of us, nine of us, in fact, who started to mastermind together and test out the various strategies and hold each other accountable. And for those of you, I read some of the responses that people that were surveyed gave about some of the bad luck they're having. I went to courses having to do with patterns. I saw some people talking about Elliott waves, talking about different sorts of option strategies, which has always been my focus and interest. I have found there's no holy grail. And that was one of the things that was a big aha for me. It turned out for me, it was the accountability. It was the repetition of doing things over and over till I could figure out how to do it right. And it was actually aligning myself. So my kind of transitioning and making the topic my own. If you're doing this all by yourself, there's a lot of people outside in the real world who are telling you, and it echoes in the little voice in your head, that you're doing something crazy and risky. And I recommend you instead surround yourself with a group of people that are going to be reinforcing that what you're doing is right on, because that's what got me into trading finally. Was I had spent almost $27,000 on education. I gave $85,000 back to the market. It was a good thing I was a single guy in my 20s working for a company making six figures like Hewlett Packard, because I could spend that kind of money. I didn't have many responsibilities besides my rent. But it was a second college education, and what I came out there learning was align yourself in a trading group. Get yourself aligned with like-minded people who are going to ask you at the end of every trading session what you accomplished, so that you don't hold yourself accomplished hold yourself accountable. And that will really get you into trading, seeing the successes starting to accrue versus failure after failure. That's what I did.
And look at you today.
And look at me today. I'm a full-time investor and trader, and I've got nonprofits that were teaching, you know, inner city kids in Chicago how to do this stuff.
Right.
And so it can work, but it takes repetition, and it takes this feedback loop that you can create in a trading group. And so that'll get you going, and that'll get you success will definitely drive you towards becoming a full-time investor and trader. And I recommend that's what you do.
Thank you very much. Jane.
Yes. Well, as I mentioned earlier, my little description, basically I came back to the trading world to be a day trader after the birth of our first daughter. And prior to that, I'd worked in the industry as an assistant to brokers, had my Series 7, but saw devastation devastation happen with people that had overextended themselves with margin, and the stock had dropped with their options with WorldCom. And so I didn't want to work with other people's money. And I grew up at the breakfast table with my parents reading the Wall Street Journal. And so I was learning, you know, as a little kid, all about PE ratios and the highs and the lows, but it was always long-term investing. Mm-hmm. So really it was the drive, you know, everybody, I think one thing for people breaking into it is what's your reason why in getting into it as well, mm-hmm. because you need to be driven. It is going to take time. It is going to take, like AJ had said, it's going to take, you know, everybody working together. You do need people to support you, because if people are outside of your group of traders that you work with, many of them are going to be like, why are you doing this? It's mm-hmm. so risky and this and that, but they don't understand mitigating that risk and risk management. And it is so important to have like-minded people and people that will encourage you. And yes, you are human. You are imperfect. You will make mistakes, but it's a matter of minimizing those mistakes along your route.
Yep.
Very, very well said. Thank you very much for that. For me, it's a little bit different path. I was studying at the Chicago Conservatory of Music, okay. and it happened to be downtown Chicago. It was right on South Michigan Avenue. And around, I would walk up and around the corner, a couple of blocks, was the Chicago Board of Trade. And I would kind of walk up to the Board of Trade and go up to the visitors gallery and watch the trading taking place in the grains and soybean, wheat, and corn, which were there at the time. And I was so drawn to that energy that was taking place. And I really didn't know why. But what it did is it started that engine going for me to learn more and to figure out what really was going on. When I came back to California, which is where I'm from, I had friends here, and one friend that we went to school together, but then separated because he finished at Stanford and I went to Chicago, and he was studying options pricing and statistics and things of that nature. And he was already down on the Pacific Exchange here and invited me down and told me that he would teach me how to trade. And I questioned, like, why? I didn't study statistics and option pricing, but he said, you did study numbers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? He says, when you analyze music, it breaks down into numbers, and therefore you should be very good at this. And as it turned out, he taught me how to trade. And I will say that that's what the inspiration was the energy from the trading pits. But the education was vital, and it was very, very important. And again, just as AJ said, you're surrounding yourself with somebody who's going to be able to help you, to show you. They have the same goals, the same ideas of being successful. I think what kind of drives people today is the fact that we're seeing so much money being made and lost in the market. There's that draw that people want that quick dollar. And it's not really that quick because as Jane explained and also AJ's explaining, and now you will take your licks, you will take your hits, you will have successful days, and the goal here is not to be overrun by those emotions and forget that every single trade that you do, you really have to know where's your stop, and you have to honor your stops, and then where's your exit strategy, and where's your goal. So there are several different steps that I think for successful trading you really kind of have to have from the minute you put that trade on, and you're not, and you've done your research and your analysis of whatever product you're determining to trade. And I find that I tell people, it's like, don't come in with a bullish or a bearish attitude. Mm-hmm. Come in with the attitude that you're going to take what the market gives that day. Let other people determine, you know, what something should go up or something should go down. But if you don't come in with that type of an attitude, then you're really holding strong to, I can do whatever the market is going to be doing in that day. Because I guarantee that it's going to do both. The market will go down, the market will go up. So do we have to determine 40 times a day if we're bullish or bearish? No, we just need to take advantage of these numbers. We need to put together a position as AJ and Jane do, because they trade options along with, you know, equity, along with indexes, that there's just a lot of things that you put together to make these work and to be able to stay comfortable in a position and not take your stop away. Mm-hmm. If you've got a stop, you must honor and respect that stop. It was there for a reason. And that reason is to tell you that it's like, it's not necessarily that you as the trader later are wrong, but at that particular moment in the market, something else is going to happen. And I've seen too many traders not honor their stops or try to work without a stop altogether, and they just keep doubling down. Say, for example, you buy it and it starts to go down, you buy more. It goes down more, you buy more. And the next thing you know, they're blowing out their account. And that's not the objective at any given time, to blow out your account. What I'd like to do now is, first of all, let's open up if anybody has additional comments, questions, or suggestions, or actually comments and suggestions from us. Questions come from everybody than that. Here's one. Somebody commented saying, an optimist says it just can't get any better than this. Unfortunately, a pessimist says the same thing. So that's what happened to tech this past week. Expect the sell-off to continue on Monday, and if it's enough, Friday could actually be higher than Monday's open. But expect August trading not to be too damned hot. I like that. So that kind of goes with what we just were actually going over. If anybody wants to kind of make some additional comments, I'll leave that open for right now. And so either AJ or Jane.
I want to follow up on something, two things that you said, just to reinforce it, and also to go along with the comment you read. It is all about pattern recognition. And that's why your music background comes in handy. And that's why I tell people that, you know, it's not so much knowing all these financial instruments as it is being able to suss up things that you see in everyday life, like your best friend, for instance. If your best friend and you know something triggers him off at a cocktail party when somebody mentions the particular topic, you know how to either keep that from happening or how to, if you want to play a joke on people, how to you know, aggravate it, put salt in the wound. So that's what it really comes down to. I have people who come to me and often ask, AJ, all I want to know is how to do vertical spreads, vertical debit spreads, vertical credit spreads. That's all I want to know how to do. And that's not a pattern recognition technique. That's a pattern utilization technique, right? And I often say, but what if the market's not handing you a pattern where you would use a vertical spread? All I want to, so you almost have to talk to people and give them what they want, but also give them what they need. The scoop is, you know, if we can get focused on trading, in my mind, is as easy as that toy that I used to have as a little child, which was a piece of board with holes in different shapes. There was a circle, there was a square, and then these blocks.
The shape sorter.
Yeah.
My 18-month-old loves it.
There you go. You know, you have to look and you have to examine from all different sides what shape block you have in your hand, and then put it right into the, because if you keep trying to take this circle cylinder and put it in the square hole, you're always going to have a losing trade, right? And then the other component I wanted to emphasize that you had mentioned is, you know, I've been interviewing successful traders since I started to try to find common themes. And one of these days I'm going to, you know, write my own version of Think and Grow Rich for traders. But one thing I have found, whenever I find a very successful trader and I ask them about it, they don't focus on reward after until the trade is closed and they're counting their money. They always, always focus on managing their risk from day one. So that's something you touched on. And, you know, it's so easy, especially in my world of option trading, to look at how much you can get. But what you want to look at is what is it that you're risking in this trade, and making sure you size your position correctly and make sure you have strategies to get out so that you don't go below these levels, as well as strategies to keep it in and allow it to accrue. I have a lot of people who take profits when the going is good, and I never understand that. So all of these little tidbits that I'd like to instill to those people who have kind of a negative flavor about trading but are still interested enough to come listen to us today, those are some little tidbits that I have found will keep you sane.
Yeah, and I'd like to also add to about what you said, Michael. You know, it's don't come into the market with a predisposed mindset. Be aware as to what the market is doing, because that could potentially influence it with the momentum if everybody goes in that direction. But really let the market dictate what you're going to do instead of trying to fight the market.
Amen. Amen to that. And I'm just going to actually expand on that thought one more time. Before we went live today, Jane and AJ and I were basically discussing how there are certain times of the day that we see algorithmic trades, algorithmic generated trades come into the market, and quite normally. And it actually, for Pacific time, which is going to be about 1 o'clock. So just as we were going live today, I started to notice that sure as rain, I guess. I was going to use another word, but I didn't. So thank you. letting me pause there. The buyer showed up. And there's, if I had to sit and spend time trying to figure out why are they stepping in and buying, this is what they do every day. And I'm not going to pretend that I know what is behind that particular algorithm, other than to know that this is what they are doing. So yep. Buy it and run it up. And when I see the pattern change and end, then you get out and you can go short in this case, and you just kind of hang tight and it should come back in for you. So again, pattern recognition, understanding that I really don't care about the who, what, where, when, or why. I leave that to fundamental traders. Mm-hmm. I leave that to other traders. But as we get further into trading, people are going to start to realize that fundamentals somehow have a place in the marketplace, but only to somebody that's going to try to invest for the next 25 years. And I think that has become too difficult, because we're not at the beginning of a large move. In my opinion, we're at the end. We're now struggling to scream up and reach the highs that we need to reach. And until the rest of trades come through, I think we're just going to sit in a position of we're going to do the choppy sideways move. But just to kind of review, the reasons that the market dropped in January still exist. They have not gone away at all. So at best, I'd be looking for another drop like that to complete the entire pattern. So again, I'm going on pattern recognition. I played upside for months here because of what the market was doing, but I never once said I'm bullish. But we're just stepping in and we're trying to take advantage of what that market is giving you on that particular day or that week. And Jane's work is very, very helpful for this, and so is AJ's, in that they're in touch with other methodologies or just other analysts that do take a look at who's buying, what they're buying, where cutoff points are, where these different things are that are going to be helpful, not in determining why someone's bullish or bearish, but just in what's going on and why these moves, you know, take place. As Jane described today in Facebook, it reaches a particular point. Mutual funds, the large mutual funds, don't have a choice. This is the rules. This is what they have to live by. So it's not saying that they're bearish on Facebook. They don't have a choice. They must exit positions at this level because it's dropped below.
And I might also interrupt just for a moment, Michael, just because some are selling at this level, it doesn't mean that other mutual funds aren't saying, hey, we don't have a position in Facebook. Look at this 20% discount. We're going to start buying, which will create that bottom. It's just a matter of which one is in greater mass in which will drive the price.
Right. And that's why I totally, totally agree with you that I would not be surprised to see, if it's not today, maybe tomorrow, that Facebook puts in a floor. It could be a temporary floor, but they put in a floor and we see a big bounce and everybody's going to go, oh, that's history. And they're going to jump. I'd rather take the position. It's like they put in a floor, time to get long. Let's ride it for as long as we can and not take a position of I'm bearish and I love Facebook. And I live in San Francisco, which is, you know, about 10 miles from Facebook Central. And there are a lot of Facebook employees and engineers that live in this area. And so I can get a lot of information, but again, it doesn't make any difference. And I don't think Facebook is a bad company. I think that what they're doing is pretty strong, but we cannot discount overvaluation. And when something gets overvalued, it will be pulled back into reality and into where it should be. And then it's off to the races again, or not off to the races. So I think we can go into that respect. Once again, I'd just like to go around. First of all, thank you both for some great information and just some great way to look at things and what I believe traders should be focusing on. But I want to give everybody a chance here. If there are any particular trades that you favor right now, if you have any trade suggestions for folks, now's the time to kind of maybe talk those up.
Absolutely. And
we'll start with you, AJ.
Okay. Let me see if I can share my screen here. Yep, here we go. All right. So I think that I'm sharing my Thinkorswim screen here. You know, what I'm doing a lot, at least for the next month, and this is a perfect time, is looking for, again, sideways channelers. I typed in the wrong ticker symbol. Sorry, guys. Sideways channelers that have really tested their lines of support, their levels, their floors, and their ceilings. This is one of the ones that I'm in right now, and I'm using a combination of option strategies. They're called poor men's covered call on leaps. The real name is diagonal debit spreads. I'm actually doing these in my tax-free Roth IRAs, and whether it be a selling a put against a deep in the money, far out in time put option, or selling a call, a near-term call against a deep in the money, far out in time call option. In this case, about last week when we were having this down bar is when we bought a January 2019 put, and it was up in the $35 range. And now we're looking for, once we've tested this bottom that's been tested over the last month here at $18.50, once we've found a bottom and it's held out, we'll be selling our premium, our August premium. And we'll probably be making a good 10% on this. And it's probably, again, factoring in the risk, it's probably going to be, based on our current analysis, about 35% of our portfolio. So we can put 35% of our portfolio into this one trade. And after, by the third Friday of August, we'll be pulling out a nice 10% from that. And so these are the type of trades I'm actually looking for, is anything that's sideways trading. I'm actually in one on United Airlines, very similar. It actually popped and made my covered call go through the roof, which never hurts. But those are more bonuses than the actual trades that I'm counting on. And so these are the type of trades that I've been trading for the last, since about June 1st. And this is my last month of doing that. I will be reassessing, like I said, when kids get back to school and Labor Day passes, we'll be seeing what the market personality is at that time. But anything that profits on time passing by and then gives you a bonus if there's a, especially around earnings season, any sort of move, these are the type of strategies I'm looking at. But the one that I just opened up last week, and now I'm looking for the second piece of the puzzle, which is selling the premium, is on this Stratasys. But there's a whole plentiful, again, with the VIX going higher, meaning implied volatility through correlation across the board is at a high, and mm-hmm. with this, you know, channeling clear lines of support, clear lines of resistance, selling what I call theta decay premium is just what the doctor ordered here in this section of the woods.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Jane?
Well, I'll mention the same one that I mentioned last time I was on. How do I share my screen? Here, I got it. Think
okay.
Right there. Can you guys see it?
I didn't
hit share. There we go. I just forgot to hit the share button. So right here we've got hemp, which is in the cannabis sector. And hemp is for me, it's a longer term holding, definitely. But they are the biggest producer of hemp in North America. I have a production facility. They sell the CPD or CBD oil to pharmaceutical companies, and they also educate people on how to grow hemp, as well as trying to educate veterans in how to do it for themselves and farmers. And they just acquired their own, I think it was GMO strain of hemp, now that it has been approved by Congress. And so it's a big mover, I believe, in the future of the hemp world for cannabis. And, you know, I've been in it since about 2.5 cents. So I'm just holding on to it long term.
And I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I would do that too, because I think eventually the rest of the states are going to kind of catch up.
Oh, for sure.
When they realize there's tax revenue available to them. And so that, I think, is really prompting many of the states to kind of reevaluate how they want to handle all of this. I know the state of California has really taken it by the horn, so to speak, and they're protecting people. They're protecting the growers. They're, you know, collecting their tax money, but at the same time, making sure that these products that are going to be sold to the public are, you know, pesticide-free, all the different things. And they're very, very strict about it, which is kind of good. So I think when everybody else catches on, particularly when medicine and pharmaceuticals catch on to the advantage or disadvantage, I think advantages of CBD in pain relief, then I think you're going to see hemp take off. And I really think it's just out there and it's just waiting. So I like your idea about you hold that one on long term. For me, I basically carry two core positions, and those being that I'm long gold and I am short 30-year bond. And I manage those positions by using options, and I'll use TLT and I'll use for in the bonds, and I use GLD for the gold positions. And by doing that, it's very similar to what AJ was saying, that, you know, on his covered call, that it tends to balance when your underlying makes a significant bounce or something in one direction. When you have your options that are putting protection around your position, that's when they kick in and they kind of lessen the blow. But outside of those core positions, I tend to basically just trade volatility. So I would recommend at this point, and even still, VIX is not up all that much today in comparison to what I'm seeing happening in the marketplace. So I start to feel that there are a lot of players who believe that this is just a one-off deal, that this will all come back and they're going to continue to sell volatility, which I think is a mistake. So my trade of this week is that I'm buying volatility. I'm not buying it via the options and by buying premium. You can trade options on the VIX. And so I would look at probably, well, it's gone up a little bit because I was buying the 1450 call. So, but you can look to see what's going to be worthwhile. But I like trading the options. And you normally, I think at this level, need to go out a little bit. I wouldn't put them on the absolute front expiration. I kind of would come down a little bit. Maybe the August expiration might work a little bit because we still have enough time there. Outside of that, I am a day trader and I trade indexes, crude, gold, bonds. And what I like to recommend is I think there are a lot of people that they don't quite understand, or they watch these futures, particularly like maybe the NASDAQ, which can move 10, 15, 20 points or $20 very, very quickly. And that type of volatility is very playable. And so again, I'm recommending that people want to come in and they want to learn, then it's quite available. And there are a lot of trade rooms that are available. First, is the one that I'm involved with at the moment, which again, it's www.candlestick.com. It is run by a friend of mine and she is an excellent trader and really does analysis very well and can be very helpful in terms of teaching and helping other people to manage risk, because it's one of our big things. And we're also looking at people that maybe start with a smaller account, and I'm talking about accounts that are under $10,000. And still, how we have a challenge set up right now where we're taking a $3,000 account and we're doubling it in 6 weeks. Well, that's the goal, is to double it. So it's getting people to understand it's like every day is not a winning day. So, but where do you set your limits and how do you set your limits and how do you manage your risk? That's what we're offering back out so that people have a fighting chance at competing against algorithmic trading and bigger players, because it is possible and you can move in and out of the market easily. So again, I think day trading is an excellent tool. It's an excellent way to make money, and we're trying to help people that they could switch over become a professional trader, to be trading more on a daily basis. Let's go back one more time, and because we have about 10 minutes, I'm not sure we'll be able to fill that, but let's go one more time as to just kind of say again, how can people get a hold of you and where we can find you and any other closing statements that you might want to add. AJ, you're muted. You're muted, AJ. There you go.
More. Let's go ahead and just let people know that they can find me at tradingtrainer.com, TradingTrainer.com. And go under articles there because I post a lot of video/blog type articles that I come up with. And I also have there a set of white papers I'd love for everyone to download. I get kind of nerded out on some of the pieces, like something I called the scenario analysis test process that I wrote a white paper on, and some different option trading strategy white papers. Please, everybody go and scavenge those. Take them, read them, enjoy them. And if you're interested in anything else that Trading Trainer has to offer, we've got some really good programs, and it's all there for you as well. So tradingtrainer.com, and you can get a hold of me there.
Thank you. Jane.
Yeah, so as I'd mentioned before, basically, if you just Google Airplane Jane, everything is going to come up and you'll be able to find me easily. And I'm reachable. If you go to my website, cjanetrade.com, you'll also see you can email me anytime at carpeprofit@gmail.com. Always happy to help with the knowledge that I've gained. And I also, last time I was on, I'd mentioned that I was about to host the Modern Trader Summit, which was great. And it was very well received. And you can check that out, the website as well, where we do have, you know, a little bit more about the summit. And it's going to be going on again next year as well. It was so well received.
Thank you very much. And for those that want to get in touch with me, the easiest way is to send an email to michael@logicalsignals.com. I will get it. I will respond. Should you have any questions about what I talked about today, please feel free to send me an email and ask. I do offer coaching. I had a trade room. It's closed right now, but I'm coaching and I also post commentary. And I do that, trying to do it on a regular basis, again, market permitting. But I like to talk about what took place on that day, what moved the markets, what didn't move the markets, and where the profitable trades really were found on that particular day. So once again, michael@logicalsignals.com. And we've got about 6 minutes, according to my clock. I am going to at least thank AJ Brown and Jane Galina for coming in today and sharing with us your expertise and your insight. And David, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Great show. Just a reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Time Your Research on YouTube or your favorite podcast service. And also join us tomorrow night for the next episode of Analyze Your Trade. That's at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That'll be episode number 43 with Mike Pisani, Jim Kenny, Stephen Brooks, and Stephen Place. Also, I have an event set up for you with Top Step Trader tomorrow night. And I got to meet a bunch of the people at Top Step when I was in Chicago last week for the Traders Expo. They have this really cool service set up where you can actually get funded for futures day traders or Forex swing traders. Mm-hmm. Actually, you can get funded with their money in as little as 15 days through their program. So if anyone wants to check that out, they have a good presentation that they're going to be putting together tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can just go to timingresearch.com/topstep to learn more about that. And I just want to thank all my guests again for this week. Let's see, Neil Batha was supposed to be here, but I think he had some technical issues. And so we'll try to have him back as soon as possible. Also, AJ Brown of TradingTrainer.com, Jane Galina of CJaneTrade.com, and Michael Filguera of LogicalSignals.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Thank you.